This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, we are so glad you guys joined us for the best hour of your week. So obviously, we're doing a series called Mindsight, and it's a play on words. I was telling somebody this week how much I love dad jokes. Now, what's interesting is one of my sons, I called him the Prince of Dad Jokes, because he comes up with these things on his own, and they're really lame, but it's a lot of fun. So I love words that work together, and I love, you know, again, kind of things that have, especially when you have a word that has multiple uses or meanings. So in the series Mindsight, I think it's important to understand, we talk about vision from time to time, right? How important it is to be able to see something. A lot of times I think that starts with writing it down so that you can see it in your mind. And then I think that's when you get about the business of seeing it come into fruition or come to reality in actuality. But it all starts in our minds. And so what we're going to look at, we're looking at a passage in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3 specifically, that addresses kind of this very thing, but from a very spiritual standpoint, right? I think it's also important, just like in any endeavor in life, being able to see it, and then you see it come to pass. I think in terms of our life as followers of Jesus and who it is that he wants us to be, I think we need to understand it intellectually. I think we need to kind of get it in our heads, and then we can start to see it come to pass in our life. So that would be mind sight. All right, good. All right, good, good, good. And so here's kind of what's interesting. I think that what we think about and how we think what we think about, because there's a delineation there, right? It's not just what you think about, but how you think about what you think about. And the way that we go about those things, that is a determining factor in our understanding of what God has in store for us. Like, what is, because, you know, one of the questions people ask all the time, well, what is God's plan for my life? And generally, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of that statement, I think that's an important question to ask, right? But most of the time when people are asking, well, what is God's plan for my life? It's a cop-out for them to not do any effort or work or put forth anything so that they can actually figure out what God's plan is for their life. They want to sit on their hands and wait for God to download something to them. And I think there's work required on our part. I think there are things that we have to do. I think we have a responsibility to do some of this work, kind of to see it in our minds, and then we can start to see it come to pass. And so our ability to see the future that he has for us hinges on a few components found in this passage, Philippians chapter 3. So we're going to read it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Now, before I do, there's some, like, wording that is different. And so I trip over this thing. I've read this thing 1,000 times, and I trip over it almost every single time. So I wanted to give you kind of some insight as to what's about to happen, some foresight maybe. So here we go. Not that I've already grasped it all or have already become perfect, but I press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Nailed it. I'm going to say it one more time because I was so focused on saying it right that I didn't really worry about saying what it says, right? So I press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do. So let's get some context here, right? What is he saying that he hasn't already attained, the thing that he hasn't fully grasped yet? It's the life that God has for him, right? He's on the right track. He's on the right path, but he's not there yet. And he kind of prefaces this with saying that, hey, I want a life that reflects Jesus. I don't want a righteousness that's of my own. I want a righteousness that comes from faith. I want to know Jesus, and I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. That's what I want, and so that's the thing. That's what he's after. He's not there yet, but he's on the right path, right? Because we talked about that last week. You can not be perfect, but you can be on the right path, and that's essentially what we're trying to do. So, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. And if anything, in anything, you have a different attitude, God gonna show it to you. That's my translation. God will reveal that to you as well. However, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. So there are some things in this passage that I think are pertinent, that are very relevant and important to us seeing the life that God has for us, not just seeing it here, but then also to see it come to pass in reality. And so last week we talked about how important it is to forget what lies behind. And I know this is one of those things that we know, right? We know we can't change the past. We can't change what we've done. We can't change what's been done to us. And yet still so many people are paralyzed by what has happened to them, and it keeps them from stepping into what is in front of them. And really, kind of to me, one of the more sad components of this, kind of the tragedy of it all, is that there are so many people who are so tied to and connected and in tune with their past that they're not even aware what's in their present, like what's right in front of them right now. You don't appreciate the life that you have right now. You don't appreciate the relationships that you have right now because of something that happened to you back then. Okay, thank you. Listen, y'all need to come on, right? If we're going to do this, let's do this. So, right, so let's talk about, that was last week, Forgetting What Lies Behind, and the title was Hindsight is Overrated. And here's what's interesting. You know, it's the good advice too late. Y'all get good advice too late. Careful after you already got domed, right, after something already hit you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for your insightfulness there. They're very thankful. And what's funny is, like, I made fun of people giving good advice too late, and then I caught myself this week giving good advice too late, right? Just like, wow, way to go, bro. Hindsight is overrated. So this week, we're going to look at another component that's found in this passage. So forgetting what lies behind, this is the one thing that I do. And the one thing is actually a couple things, but it's enveloped in one thing, right? Y'all get that? So the one thing that I do is I forget what lies behind, and then it says I'm reaching forward to what is ahead, to what lies ahead. So we're going to look today at what it means to reach forward to what lies ahead. And even in that phrase, I think there are two components. I think you've got reaching forward, and then I think you've got the subject, right, to what lies ahead. So let's break it down like that. And if I could rap right now, I would break it down. Okay, stop. So first part, reaching forward. What does it mean to reach forward? Again, all of this is predicated on our understanding of what it is that we're reaching forward to, right? And so backing up just a little bit and having kind of a more wide-angle perspective, we understand what we're reaching forward to is this life that God has called us to, right? That's what we are in pursuit of. That's what we are after. It's this upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the thing that we're going for. And so when it comes to reaching forward, I think, again, kind of getting a baseline understanding of this, I think you have to find, or what you find in this phrase, is there is a willingness to press on in spite of what may come. Right, when you're reaching forward, what is the context, what is the implication of reaching forward? It's that you are continuing to move forward in spite of anything that may be going on around you. It's this willingness to continue to press on regardless of what may come. It's a determination to be committed to the life that God has called us to. And here's the thing, I get frustrated sometimes because I've been in church for a minute now, like 23 years, been going to church, 23 years, which is a long time for me, right? Because I'm not that old. I'm 40, none of your business, right? I'm 40 even on the dot. So I've been going to church for a long time. And what's interesting to me is, like, I didn't think, before I started going to church, I thought that everybody that was in church kind of had it all together and had it all figured out, and they didn't have some of the same problems that I had. And I thought that if you went to church, that you went to church. Like, that's what you did. Like, and you didn't stop, that you continued to do that. And then I started going to church, and I realized that that was not the case at all, right? I'm like, oh, you guys are just as messed up as I am. And also, some of y'all are flaky. That was my first, like, kind of my initial observation, right? And so it's this commitment, this reaching forward, it's this determination to continue to press on to the life that God has called us to. It is a no going back mentality. Like, it's here's, all right, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm getting worked up. So here, this is, again, there's this built-in assumption that we know what it is that we're reaching forward to. And again, I think we've addressed that, right? So where mindsight comes into play is we have to know intellectually what it is that we're aspiring towards, what we're trying to accomplish. And it's, again, this life that God has in store for us, and then we can see it come to pass in reality. That is what we are reaching for. It is to be a person, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, to have a relationship with him that results in a life being marked by him. That's what we're after. That's what we're going for. And it makes me think of kind of this whole thing in terms of commitment, determination, and what it is that we're aspiring towards. It makes me think about a story that Jesus told. This is what we forget about Jesus sometimes. I do, maybe you don't. Jesus was a savage. Like I think because we live, especially given the world that we live in, where we have this, maybe this deep need for adulation and people to notice us and to be seen and to have followers and to have influence, like Jesus was constantly trying to run people off, like in the best way possible. He wanted to make sure that they knew exactly what it was that they were getting into. Let's read the story and we'll make sense of all of that. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. So there's this crowd that's following Jesus, and they're all kind of pressing in. Jesus is the hot button. He's the hot topic, and everybody is aware of who he is and kind of what he's about. Maybe not fully understanding who he is, but at least he's the buzz, right? And so the crowd pushes in on Jesus, and they start asking him questions about, hey, what is it? I want to follow you. I want to be connected to you. Really, I want to be seen like you're seen most of the time is what people mean when they say that, right? And so this was Jesus' response, one of his responses to them. And he says, suppose, Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. And I think what you find in this is like, there's kind of this pointing to the necessity of determination, to commitment, to following through with what it is that you started, to finishing what it is that you started. And the way that we do that is by just reaching forward. We just keep reaching forward. We say all the time that Jesus doesn't want just part of your life, right? He wants your whole life. Jesus doesn't just want your Sunday morning, but he wants your entire week, right? Jesus, he wants not just like elements and aspects of your life, but all of your life in its entirety. But that also applies to duration. Like he doesn't just want you when you're a kid. Jesus loves all the little children of the world, right? Yeah, that's true also. But he also wants you when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s and your 80s and your 90s. And if you make it to be a centenarian, he'll take you then too. He wants all of your life, like for duration as well. And I think on our part, the requirement there is to finish what it is that we started, to reach forward in spite of what may come. He doesn't just want to be your leader for a season, but he wants to be your leader until the end, which ironically isn't an end at all, right? It's really, the end is really just the beginning. And so, like I said, I've been around church for a long time, and I've seen this happen probably hundreds of times, if not more, where people come and they're excited about Jesus. They're excited about going to church. They're excited about leaving their old life behind and forgetting what lies behind, but pressing forward and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And soon thereafter, that excitement disappears. It's like the shooting stars, right? Just gone. Wasn't very good sound effects, but you know what I'm talking about, right? And in fact, like, so when I first started going to church, I was a senior in high school. This is my story. Senior in high school and not a terrific person. In fact, very crappy person. Shelly invited me to church. I was like, you're hot. Is this a date? We're going to church. Different, but I'm down, right? Let's try it. I mean, do they serve food? They got food at this church. So anyway, I went to church and man, so I was so excited. I started going to church and kind of the same thing, like the excitement, the zeal for what lies ahead and forgetting what is behind. And what's cool was there were a couple of my friends that started coming with me. And I was like, because y'all know how it is. When you first start going to church, sometimes it's nerve-wracking. Do y'all remember what it was like when you first started going to church? Or, you know, if you went to a new church, new environment, new people. And so when I first started going, I was like, well, for a couple of reasons. One, my skin was on fire. And I didn't know what conviction was at the time, but I found out soon thereafter what conviction was. I was like, somebody, y'all turn the air conditioning on. It's hot up in here. And I realized it was just my guilt, right? My sin that was catching up to me. And so I was so excited about my new life and the things that God was doing in my life and the future that he had for me. But I had a couple of friends that were kind of on the same path. And a friend that I went to school with, he started coming to church with me when I did. We were both excited about our new lives, but unfortunately, he didn't finish. Unfortunately, he started coming for, you know, he went for a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And then like, y'all know what it is? It's like those excuses. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I got this other thing at the same time that I got that thing, you know, the church thing, and I'm excited. Church is cool. I like church, but I got this other thing that I've got to take care of. And so what happened eventually was that he stopped coming to church, and the change didn't stick. the change didn't stick. And it's not that I'm any better than he is by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that I had forfeited all of my other options. Like, this was it for me, right? And maybe some of that was kind of this, before I went to church, I really didn't like the people who went to church but didn't live like they went to church. This was just me being judgmental before I started going to church, right? So I made fun of, like, it was hilarious to me, the people that went to church on Sunday mornings but lived like we did on Friday night and Saturday night. And I'm like, what's up with that? And so I knew long before I started going to church that I didn't want to be like that, that when I started going to church that I was not looking back, that I was burning the ship, right? That there was no other option for me. And so if you forfeit all of, what are you going back to? There's nothing to go back to. And so you just keep reaching forward. And can we be honest about what you're leaving behind? It's all counterfeit anyways. Can we stop pretending like what we're leaving behind is any better than what lies ahead? Can we stop fooling ourselves for a minute? And this is what we do. We allow ourselves to be lied to and manipulated by our minds. And we look back with this stupid, like, filter as if what we had was better than what is in front of us. The life that you're giving up and the things that you're giving up are the things that will give you up to. Sometimes, every once in a while, there's this, like, nugget of wisdom. I'm like, man, that's good. That's all right. That's good. That's good. Preaching, preacher, right? The life that you're giving up and the things that you're giving up are things that'll give you up too. Like, can we just be honest enough to make an assessment about, you know, the things that we're told that are really important, the things that we're told to pursue and go after? Y'all know how it is. When you get there, you realize, man, this is pretty empty and this is pretty hollow. I want something that is real and true and lasting, not like all that other stuff that leaves you worse off than you were before you started. Jesus tells another kind of, again, these are some of the hard things that Jesus said, but I think they're so important. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says this, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Sometimes I think we don't know that Jesus said really hard things like this, right? Like, sometimes I think all we think about is Jesus is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." There is sacrifice in that, right? That is a hard thing. And so when Jesus is telling us, hey, put your hand to the plow, which means that what you are focused on what is ahead, that you are moving forward, and don't look back, because if you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what I don't think he's saying here is that he doesn't want us to be part of the kingdom of God. What he's saying here, this is the cold, hard truth that if you are looking back, that you're not going to make it because you don't know what it is that you're looking forward to and you're not aware of where you're going. We understand this, like, in terms of just very logical playing this out, right? You can't go both directions at the same time. Like, you just can't go forward and go backwards at the same time. And so if you're looking back and you're not reaching forward, you're probably not going to make it to the end. And we don't get to judge who makes it to the end and who doesn't. I don't think we'll ever grasp the depths of God's grace and his love, but that doesn't diminish the fact that each of us have a responsibility to live the lives that we live, right? And I think we're going to be held accountable for the lives that we live. And I just don't really want to have that conversation with Jesus and be like, "Well, look, you gave me this life, and you gave me some talent, and you gave me some opportunity, and I just kind of squandered it all because I was so busy focusing on what was behind." I don't know about you, but I don't really, have you ever had a conversation, not an angry conversation, but a conversation with someone that really loves you that was disappointed in you? Those are the worst. Just be mad at me. Like, just let's get it over with. Yell and scream and dog cuss me and let's do that. But just don't be disappointed in me. And I don't think that's the conversation you want, because I think there would be some disappointment in that, right? So as much as anything, this is what we're called to do. We're called to plow the rows, right? Our hands are on the plow, which means we're moving forward. We're reaching forward. And I think as much as anything, this is a reminder to not get distracted. Don't get distracted. A modern example of this would be, like, I don't know, distracted driving. Not that anybody deals with any of that ever. At least be discreet about it. Can we say that? Like, here's the deal. Like, if you get an alert, and I'm not condoning any of this, but, you know, if you see something, you get an alert, and you're like, just be quick and discreet. But, like, some of these fools are, like, driving down Interstate 20 reading a book on their phone. What are you doing? It's like, oh, why, don't cut me off. I was watching Netflix. Seriously. And so here's what we know about distracted. Like, and again, this is not a sermon on texting and driving or any of that stuff. But we know the statistics that you exponentially increase the likelihood that you aren't going to make it to your destination if you're angry tweeting down the interstate. You exponentially increase the likelihood that you're not going to make it to where you're going if you're not looking at and you're not focused on the right things. And so that's kind of it's just a reminder. Don't be distracted by what's right here or what's right there, but be focused on what it is that you're going towards. And I love that this whole idea is reinforced in the same sentence. It's like forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. It's reinforced in the same sentence with the phrase, press on. And repetition is always important in Scripture. It highlights the notion that there are going to be challenges, that there are going to be difficulties, but we continue on anyway, which leads us to our next point. So that's the first part, reaching forward, right? That's our call is to continue to reach forward, to really, truly release what it is that lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead, which is our second point. Oh, by the way, the title for today's message is Mexican Speed Bumps. Last week we had grasshoppers and scuba diving, or scuba diving grasshoppers or something like that. And this week it's Mexican speed bumps. It'll make sense in a minute. So let's talk about what lies ahead. So the second component of this passage is what lies ahead. And again, we've kind of covered the big thing here, right? The thing that lies ahead for us is the life that God has for us here and for eternity. It's what he's called us to. And so we continue to press on towards that. We continue to press on to becoming the person that he wants us to become and start to reflect him well in the world that we live in. But I think there's also another element to this that is important at least to note and talk about just for a minute. When you're so focused on what's in front of you, or when you are focused on what's in front of you, it gives you the ability to see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. Right, so y'all know how it is. Like, if you're looking forward, if you're looking ahead, you can see the things that are ahead that maybe you need to be aware of that are in front of you. And it's not like it's any sort of premonition, but it's just a foresight that comes from awareness. Because we're looking forward, we can see what lies ahead. Because we're looking forward, maybe you can see some of the challenges that are in front of you. Maybe you can see some of the adversity that you're about to endure. And so when you have some time to prepare for these adverse situations, it gives you an advantage. Like, if you know something's coming, then it helps you to prepare for the thing that's coming. Not that you don't have to deal for the thing that's coming, but you're just prepared for the thing that's coming. Does that make any sense? Maybe this will help it make sense. Maybe the Mexican speed bumps will help it make sense. So Shelly and I went on a cruise one time. You knew this, you figured it out. We went on a cruise. We went to Cozumel. How many of you guys have been to Cozumel? A lot of people, because, it's like you go to Galveston and you cruise the Cal and you gain 15 or 20 pounds. It's fantastic. Such a fun thing. And so, at any rate, we went to Cozumel and we rented a moped, which they tell you, one of the first things they tell you is to not rent a moped if you're a tourist. And so we immediately dismiss all of the warnings. We buy a moped, not buy, but we rent a moped. They call it a Mexican Harley, which was funny. That's what they called it. I'm just telling you what they called it. The Mexican guy at the store said, "Hey, you want a Mexican Harley?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So we hopped on the Mexican Harley, and we went literally, it's Cozumel's an island, and so we rode all the way around the island, and we're almost back. Like, we're almost to our destination, back to the place that we're trying to get to. And so I know enough Spanish to be dangerous. Like, I know some of the formalities, like, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Where's the bathroom? Those sorts of things. So I'm just cruising. We're just having a good time. We're checking everything out, taking in all the sights. And there was a sign that I didn't know the word. There was a word that was just unfamiliar to me. And so I'm like, that's a weird sign. I wonder what that means. And we're just booking it. Well, that sign was like, "Hey, slow the heck down because there's a speed bump the size of Mount Kilimanjaro up ahead." And so your boy's just burning. Like, we're going 45 miles an hour on this moped. And we hit a speed bump. It looked like Evel Knievel. We're just like, ooh. And all of the stuff, like, we've got like our bags and towels and all that stuff on the back of the moped. Everything just goes, it looks like an explosion, shrapnel everywhere. And here's what's funny, they being the police officers, they know that tourists do this, because guess where they're sitting? There's three or four of them just sitting right there waiting for tourists to come flying through there and hit Mount Kilimanjaro, and up like a volcano we went. And so the interesting part is, apparently, you can get yourself out of some situations when you're a tourist in Mexico by offering some money to get out of the situation. I don't know that we bribed him. It was just like, hey, he was telling us, because, you know, we didn't understand him. He didn't understand us. And he was like, you got to go pay this ticket before you go to the ship. And Shelly and I are like, we're not paying a ticket. We're getting on the ship. And so it's like, we're just this kind of long back and forth. Do what? Oh, yeah, he told us we could go to jail. I'm like, watch me ride this moped onto the cruise ship. And so Shelly was like, hey, how about we just pay you and we're good? Like, seemed like the thing. So apparently you can bribe. I don't know if it was a bribe. Probably wouldn't recommend it. Don't ride a Mexican Harley when you're in Cozumel. All of that to say, like, had I been looking at what was in front of me and not taking in everything that was around me, even though I couldn't read the sign, I probably would have seen Mount Kilimanjaro, and I would have slowed down, and the whole thing would have been avoided and averted. Doesn't mean that the speed bump wouldn't have still been there. There still would have been some bumps in the road, but it wouldn't have been disastrous like it was. It was disastrous, and y'all know life is like that, right? It's like there are some bumps in the road. There are some things that you have to go through. There are some things ahead, some adversity that you're going to face. But if you're just looking forward, it helps you to embrace for it. It helps you to prepare for it. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is so fitting to this whole discussion. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And what he's telling them there is that, hey, I am the Son of God, and I am about to go through some things. I'm about to give my life up for you. I tell you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have speed bumps, trouble. In this world, you will have trouble the size of a speed bump that's the size of Mount Kilimanjaro. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through it. It just means that because we're looking forward, we can see what lies ahead, and we can prepare for those things that we have to go through. And the way that we prepare for those things is we just keep looking at Jesus. Right? We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? So look, you're going to go through some stuff, man. I do not ever want to be the kind of person that tries to sell this version of Christianity that it's frolicking in the fields, it's kumbaya, my Lord, it's rainbows and unicorns, and it even worse than that are rainbow puking unicorns, right? There's some suffering that happens. There's some adversity that happens. There's some challenges that happen. Jesus told us that there would be, but if we just keep reaching forward, we see the things that lie ahead. And it helps us to endure and embrace and be ready for the things that lie ahead. So here's my prayer for us. My prayers for us is that first and foremost, that we count the cost. And y'all know what this is. When we count the cost, like really what he's saying here, when he's telling us to count the cost, is he's telling us, be really bad at math. This is the worst deal in history. What he's telling us is to give up all of the garbage and to take on all, but I'm exchanging, you know, have you ever done like a business transaction with a kid and you know they're not very good at business? It's kind of what's going on here. It's like my oldest, I'm not going to say which child. I have a child, and it was the classic, like you can give them, you know, they're going to give me $1 for two dimes because two is more than one. Right? And then you just kind of keep playing that out. And that's exactly what happens when we count the cost. Like what we're saying is, like, I'm giving up this and I'm getting this in place of. I'm giving up this old life that leaves me broken and busted and disgusted, and I'm accepting this new life that's a real and full and abundant life. That's pretty good math. And so I'm going to count that cost, and I'm going to say that I accept that, I receive that I'm going to follow you, Jesus, to the end of my days, not just in my 20s or my 30s or my 60s or my 90s, but I'm going to follow you for all of my days. And I'm not just going to give you my Sundays, but I'm going to give you my Mondays and my Tuesdays. I'm going to give you my whole life for my whole life because I count the cost, and we reach forward to what lies ahead in spite of what lies ahead. Right, we reach forward to what lies ahead in spite of what lies ahead. I was thinking, and I don't want to get too heavy here, but I was thinking, I've been watching a lot of World War II stuff lately for some reason. Y'all go through kicks like that where you get like fixed on a topic or subject. And I always go back to the persecution that people went through, the Jewish people specifically, kind of the Nazi, you know, oppression and all the stuff that they went through. And one of the things that fascinates me are the people who helped, who didn't have to help, but helped because their faith inspired them to help. Like people who put their lives on the line for other people because of their understanding that again, we're all created in the image of God. It's like the thing that we're supposed to do, even if it's a thing that puts us in. And so kind of all of this like connecting and making sense is like, even if it got to the point where we had to give up our lives, if we had to sacrifice, you know, maybe entirely, but even just, you know, kind of on a more micro scale, if we have to sacrifice in order to continue to press forward and live the life that God has called us to live, that's the kind of life that I want to live. I don't want to live a life as a coward. I don't want to live a life as someone who is selfish. I want to live a life that is fully devoted to Jesus. And whatever that looks like is whatever that looks like. So that's what it means to reach forward to what lies ahead in spite of what lies ahead. And we do that, again, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Man, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your life looks like right now. I do know that odds are you're probably facing some stuff because all of us do. And so my encouragement to you this morning is stop looking at that stuff and start looking at Jesus. Stop being, y'all know, we do this stupid thing where we make mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. And we would realize that our problems are so much smaller if we would redirect our attention. It's the 30,000 feet view of things. When you get up there, everything down here just looks so much smaller. So let's get up there. Let's focus on Jesus and the life that he has for us. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you do, for your love for us. God, your kindness that you demonstrated on the cross for us. We're so thankful. God, we're thankful that you've given us this very clear warning and instruction, God, that we have to keep moving forward, that we have to keep our hands on the plow, that we have to keep moving forward in spite of what may come. God, that we don't quit, that we don't stop, that we are committed to you just like you are committed to us. God, the same thing that you expect from us, God, you gave to us. You expected us to be committed to you like you were to us, that you were with us always, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. God, help us to return that same enthusiasm and commitment to you. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. God, not to be so distracted by what's going on in our lives, the problems that we're facing or will face, but God, that we have in you this confidence, this courage. We take heart because you overcame the world. We love you and we're so thankful for you. And it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.